Back when I first started working for the man, Jimmy, I thought they owed me a day off about once a week, you know? Till I'd ask for a day off, and then all of a sudden, 3 days later, I wasn't getting called in. Lisa'd say, "Maybe you need to call him." "No, he said he'd call." Lisa said, "Call him." So I called him. "Yeah, you want to work?" "Yeah, I want to work. We'll swoop on in here tomorrow." I started figuring stuff out after that. So, what a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. Amen. Good to be here tonight. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be there in just a little bit, but I've got some other things I want to deal with tonight. And I want to be a blessing to everybody. Don't want you mad at me. But I got to say some things that are in the Bible. Amen. Say some things that are in the Bible. Some people don't like it. Well, can't help that. But anyway, it's good to be here tonight. And glad you could make it. And so anyway, y'all be in prayer for me. Be in prayer for Sweetie Pie and the boys and my family while I'm gone. That's hard on them, and it's getting harder on me. And so just pray, and pray that God will bless up there. I don't know anybody up there. I don't know really what's going to happen, but just pray that God will bless us. Talk to Joe Pogue today. He called, said he's driving a Prairie Farms milk truck through town. Didn't have time to stop, but he called. We visited for a while, and we talked for a while, and he said, "You know, Hoggy," that's what he called me, and he said, "You know, Hoggy," he said, "I've been reading a lot more about prophecy," and he said, "You know, I didn't really know much about that." I said, "Well, I know a guy," and he said, "Yeah, I know you do," and he said, "It just seems like a lot of stuff going on." I said, "Well, there is, you know," and I told him, you know, we was talking a little bit about it, and he said, "I just think they're just going to come take all our guns away." And I said, "You know what?" I said, we had a little conference on that here a while back. He said, "You did?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Boy," he said, "do you have that on CD?" I said, "You know what? I just so happened we captured it. We captured the moment." And so I said, "We've been going." I said, "We got guys going to gun shows," and I said, "They're throwing them things around all over the place." He said, "You're kidding me." I said, "No." He said, "Well, send me a handful of them." He said, "They'll be gone before they get to the house." And I said, "Okay." So I said, "How many did we send down there? About 50 of them?" Joe, he's giving me his address. He said, "Such and such, East Highway 72. I said, "Okay." He said, "Heaven." And I said, what was that again, Joe?" He said, "Heaven, I mean, Fredericktown." I don't know, but one thing I do know, Fredericktown is down that way. Okay? It ain't up there. It's down that way. You got to go down to Fredericktown. But anyway, it was good to talk to him. We miss him, and just a good friend, good servant of the Lord, good friend, and appreciate him so much. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Pray for one another, and just pray for each other tonight. Lift one another up before the Lord, and pick somebody out here tonight, and just say, "God bless them. God help them. I don't know what's going on in their life, but God, you bless them, and you help them, and you give them encouragement tonight." Oh, you know what? Hang on a second. I'm sitting here playing with a piece of paper, and I've got prayer request here. Joe and Sue. And you know what? There's another page of this too, I think, somewhere. And their son has health problems, and it just seems like there was another one of these stuck in my Bible somewhere. And if I don't find it, we're just going to have to ask the Lord to read what's on that other paper, all right? But He knows all about it, and so we're going to ask God to bless. Heavenly Father, I love You, and I thank You, God, for this day, and I thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your patience, God, with Your children, with Your people. Lord, You're very long-suffering, and You're very kind to us, and You're very gentle to us. And we thank You, dear God, for being a good Father to us, and a good helper, a good role model. We thank You, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Lord, He is our Savior. We are looking for no other. We have no need, Lord, for our faith to be looking for someplace else to rest. It has found a resting place in Jesus Christ. It's not in the devices nor the creeds of men that we stand, Lord. It is upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ and His Word, Lord, to us tonight. And we thank You, Lord, for that faith. And we thank You, Lord, for that guidance. Thank You, Lord, for the freedom that we have in Jesus and the removal from bondage that You've brought us out of. Lord, we love You. And Lord, probably each one of us tonight is coming before You tonight, maybe with a little bit different burden, a little bit different care, a little bit different heartache. Lord, there's probably one sin or another represented in this building tonight that needs to be forgiven. And I pray, God, Lord, that You'd forgive the sins of Your people. Lord God, as they call upon You in humbleness, dear God, humility, Father God, that You'd help them and lead them into the paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Lord, just be good to Your children tonight. Give us refreshing, Lord, from Your Word. Help us, dear God, to see the world that we live in today through the eyes of the Scriptures and no other, Lord, for we know that Thy Word is truth. Lord, help us tonight. Help us as we study Your Word, as we go through it, dear God. Lord, increase our faith. Teach us things that we have learned and forgot. But teach us things, Lord, we do not know. Great and mighty things. Lord, would You bless us tonight? Be with us in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Before we get to Hebrews tonight, I want to just read some verses to you tonight. I'm just going to read them. They're not in any particular order, but I just want you to listen to the Word of God. Do you believe that the Bible is God's final authority on everything? Do you believe that? Say amen. Okay. So I want you to listen to the Word of God tonight. Exodus 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. That's what God said. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate Me. That's what God said now. Jeremiah 44:25. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. That's what God said. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John 17:11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given Me, that they may be one as we are. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all as one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 7:27. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Matthew 23:9. and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Why did I read those verses tonight? Every one of these verses, this just skims the surface. Every one of these verses are verses that the Roman Catholic Church is in violation of. They break these words of God. They act in contradiction to these words. Let me go back over this list. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know why God said that? It is an abomination to pray to any other divine source before God. When you pray to St. Mary, St. Joseph, St. Luke, St. Francis, you are praying to other gods before God. That's a violation, second commandment. Or first commandment, number two. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. I got in my mind that poor woman I met in Dallas, Texas, who wanted to straighten me out on my doctrine concerning the church and concerning Mary. And I said, ma'am, just remember, the next time you go into your church and you bow before one of those statues, she said, the Bible tells us, God told us not to make idols of pagan gods. I said, that's not what it says. And I quoted this. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. She acted like she had never heard that before. Threaten the Bible. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. That's what God said. Violation of the Word of God. We burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings unto her. Violation of the Word of God. He specifically mentions the Queen of Heaven. Who does the Catholic Church refer to as the Queen of Heaven? Mary. I watched Il Papa, which you're not supposed to call him that. The word Pope means father, papa. Not supposed to call him that. But I watched him today, bow to everybody, looked so humble, he looked so regal. I can see where people can get caught up in the eye candy of the Vatican. Oh, it's an amazingly beautiful thing. Certainly, this man, high above the people, dressed a whole lot better than Mike Hoggard standing here tonight, I guarantee you. Probably has a little bit more power than I've got, a little bit more money than I've got too. Okay? Said as last remarks now before I leave you and before I start my duties as your Pope, I'm going to go pray to the Madonna tomorrow. I'm going to go bow before a statue and pray to the Queen of Heaven and offer up incense to her. Direct contradiction in violation of the Word of God. Absolutely. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I couldn't quite catch all that he was saying today, but if I remember correctly, this new Pope came out today reasserting the doctrines of the faith, one of which was penance. You know what that is? That is you paying for the remainder of your sins by works. Their doctrine is that Christ did not pay it all. You must pay your share of it. Direct contradiction to the Word of God. John 17:11. Jesus was praying to the Most High God in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He called Him Holy Father. No man on earth justifies or warrants us calling Him Holy Father. No man. No man. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But they say you can't pray. You cannot pray directly to Jesus. You must go through the priests. You must go through the Virgin Mary. That's what Pope St. Francis said that he was going to do tomorrow. He was going to go and pray to the Madonna. Why? Because his doctrine says that if he prays to her and appeals to her, his prayers will carry more merit because she is Mater Dei, the Mother of God. And Jesus, who is the God, will listen to what his mother tells him to do. I'm not making that up. That is what their doctrine. That's why he's doing that. His first act as Papa is to go to the Queen of Heaven and pray to her as if she were a mediator between us and God. And this Bible says there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonoreth his head. Did you see that today? Because as part of the duties, they wear the hat. The cardinals all wear the little red beanie. Okay? The Bishop of Rome, the Pontificus Maximus, the Pope, wears the papal crown. Bishops wear that hat, and they all pray and prophesy with their head covered. This is a violation of Scripture. This is why I don't wear one. Okay? I don't wear one. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Up on the stage of every Roman Catholic church in the world is a box called the temple, the tabernacle. And they open that box, and inside of that box is the wafer, which to them is God. This is the body of Jesus Christ. Here we have Jesus, our God, dwelling in a temple made with hands. Violation of Scripture. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Roman Catholic Church says that you cannot confess your sins directly to God. Who must you go through? Who must you go through? The priest. Did you go and tell the priest? One time? Well, you weren't even a good Catholic. So I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but when you went to the confession, did you tell him everything? It's okay to tell the truth in God's house. It really is. Most things. Why didn't you want to tell him at all? Because. Okay. You know what? Look around you. Who in here would want to go sit opposite a man in a booth and tell him every wicked thought you had in 1 week's time? Who in here would want to do that? Who in here would feel no shame whatsoever in doing that? I blush just thinking about it. No way. No way. But did you know, according to this, you can go boldly. You know why the Bible says you can go boldly to the throne of grace? Because you know that God, once that is confessed and been forgiven, He will never, ever hold it against you as long as you live. He will never hold it against you for eternity. Violation of Scripture for a man to go to a priest and confess his sins. Hebrews 7:27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Hebrews 9:12, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I am positive that upon crowning a new hope, there was a mass held. You know what a mass is? It is a re-sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The fact is, the whole mass, every place that a mass is performed, They re-crucify Jesus on the cross all over again. And they say that it's necessary. This says it's not. This says that it's an abomination to re-crucify Jesus every day, every day, every day, over and over and over again. In fact, the one outstanding dominant symbol of the Catholic Church, which came out along with the new Pope, was the re-sacrificed Jesus, still dead, still on the cross. He's already been sacrificed. What they would tell you is, that's not good enough. We're going to do it over and over and over and over again. It has to be done. And yet the Bible says, no, it's happened once and that's it. And here's the doctrine. You attend Mass, you have Christ crucified and sacrificed for your sins, you will invariably go out and sin some more. Now when you come back, He must be re-crucified again for those new sins. Direct contradiction to having obtained eternal redemption for us. Direct contradiction. Matthew 23:9, and call no man your father upon the earth. You're not supposed to say that. These men are not your father. And that man they crowned in the Vatican is not the Holy Father. Far from it. Far, far from it. You are not to call these. In fact, this, Jesus also said we're not supposed to call the Jewish guys rabbis either. Okay? That's something the whole Hebrew Roots movement does. That was Rabbi Jesus. That was Rabbi Saul. That was Rabbi this, Rabbi that. Direct contradiction, a violation of Scripture. You're not supposed to. Jesus Himself said, call no man your father. Okay? That's just about 10 minutes in my office thinking about what I was seeing on TV in 10 minutes time. All these violations against this Bible right here. Now, if you don't think that that group hates this Bible, you got your head in the sand. They hate it because this Bible sets men free. And tell you a little story. The Pope that they just elected was a Jesuit priest. It's the first time it's ever been done in history. Jesuits are the military order of the Vatican. They get things done. That's what they do. In time, I may kind of talk about that a little bit later on. I'll tell you the story of a former Jesuit priest by the name of Alberto Rivera. A Roman Catholic priest in Spain was sent to the seminary at a young age. And his mom and daddy wanted him to be the priest, so they put him in the seminary at a young age, and he ended up being a priest. He saw the sodomy in the seminary that he was in. These young boys going to this Catholic school to learn how to be priests, he saw the sodomy. He saw the pacified way in which it was put under the rug. He knew what was going on. He joined the Jesuit order. And I won't get into all the things that he was doing. One night, while he was in seminary, young age, just a teenager, God had already instilled in this man, Alberto Rivera, a craving for the Word of God. He would have a Bible in his bed, secretly reading the Bible under penalty of being in big trouble by the seminary that he was going to. He was in bed reading the Bible under the covers, so that nobody would see the light. And he would read the Scriptures, and he would read the pages of the Scriptures over and over and over again. Became a Catholic priest, and I won't detail all the things that he did, but one day the Scriptures got a hold of him. And he came to a place in his life, Jim, where he decided that he was going to have to make a choice. Is it going to be what I'm seeing here in the Roman Catholic institution and the things that they're doing and the doctrines that I've been taught and the practices that they practice? Or is it going to be the Word of God? And he sided on the Word of God. He chose the Word of God. He said, this is right. And God saved him. And he escaped out of the Roman Catholic institution. Okay? And went around telling everybody what he saw and what he knew and how he came out of it. And he's gone on to be with the Lord now, and I appreciate men like that. But listen, I don't hate people. I really don't. I'm not in this to throw hate out everywhere. I love people. I hate bondage. I hate bondage. I don't care what form it comes in. I don't care what form it comes in. Whether it's religious, right-wing, fundamentalist Christianity that imposes extra biblical standards on people and say, if you don't follow our church line, you're not going to heaven. I don't like that kind of bondage. There are men who would say of me tonight that I am obviously not, my heart's not right with God because I don't have on a suit and tie. That's not here. That is not here. It's not here. I'm not saved by suits and ties. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
By the way, you ain't saved by bib overalls and whitetail sweatshirts either. Amen? Okay? That don't make you better than anybody else. All right? That's just who you are. Amen. Or if it's the Roman Catholic institution who constantly demands action, performance, money, and strict loyalty to the church, in order that you might even get a hope of salvation after the remainder of your sins have been purged in purgatory. That's bondage. How many masses have been said for a dead person? How much money has been paid to the church for a dead person so that a mass could be said so that that would ease their suffering in purgatory and hopefully draw them out sooner so they could be in heaven? How much of that has been done in the name of God when God said nothing about it? Any religious institution, including Protestant churches, non-Catholic churches, who would say that the Bible that you're reading really isn't your final authority. I am. And as I tell you what God really says, you must listen to what I say. That's bondage. I don't like it. I don't like it. Amen? So don't be fooled by what you're looking at on television. That's pomp and grandeur and eye candy. And that's what the world looks for in their Savior. That's not who Jesus was. Go read the Bible's description of Jesus. There was no form nor comeliness in him. There's nothing that we would desire from this man at all by his appearance. Even the guy that he sent before him, John the Baptist, long hair, long beard, wearing a camel's coat. He's the guy eating locust out there. Okay? It wasn't the Creflo Dollars and the Amen? Wasn't that at all? Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Are you there? Say amen. Faith is an amazing thing. We talked about, let's see here. I don't remember where I left off last Wednesday. That's my problem. Let me first start with verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. If you remember that story, think about that. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Let me talk about that just for a minute. Where did Joseph hear of the departing of the children of Israel from Egypt? Where did Joseph hear that from? Does anybody know? He heard it from his great-grandfather, Abraham. God had told Abraham that his seed was going to go down in Egypt, and for about 400 years they was going to be down there, And then after that, God was going to bring them up out of Egypt back into that land. God told Abraham that. Abraham, watch this, moms and dads. Listen to this. Abraham imparted that to his son Isaac. Abraham told Isaac, son, let me tell you what's going to happen in the future to our family. We're going to end up going for some reason down in Egypt. About 400 years after we're down there, we're going to come back up into this land. I want you to remember that, son. God told me that. Don't you ever forget that. Isaac sat Jacob down and said, Jacob, let me tell you a little story. Let me tell you what my daddy told me. My daddy told me that for some reason, we're going to go down in Egypt, be down there for about 400 years, and after that, we're going to come back into this land. Son, I don't ever want you to forget that. And somehow, some way, because Joseph was the beloved son of Jacob, who had his father's coat put on him, that multicolored coat put on him. He was the firstborn of his true love, Rachel. And I can just imagine father sitting down with son. Son, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what my daddy told me that his daddy. Let me tell you what's coming from my granddaddy. Our granddaddy had a conversation with God, and God told our grandfather Abraham that one of these days we're going to end up going down in Egypt. And we're going to be down there for about 400 some years. And after that, God's going to bring us back up to this land. And Joseph had that in his mind. And I want you to think about this. I want you to follow the trail now. Listen to me, moms and dads. Don't fail to impart the faith of the Word of God into your children. They'll carry that with them. Because what is it that keeps Joseph from going nuts over the fact that, number one, his own brethren hate his guts. His own brethren despise him so much that they threw him down in a pit. What is it that keeps Joseph alive down in that pit? You know what it was? I believe what God told my great-grandfather Abraham. I believe what God said. I believe what God said. So then he's sold to the Ishmaelites. Now he's in bondage to the opposite side of the family, the Ishmaelites. He's sold into bondage, going to be a slave. What is it that keeps his mind and his head cool the whole time he's traveling around with the Ishmaelites? God told my great-grandfather Abraham that we're going to end up in Egypt for about 400 years, and after that we're going to go into the Promised Land. And then the Ishmaelites got him there in Egypt, and they sold him to Potiphar. And now he's a slave at Potiphar. What is it that compels him to not just sit down, give up, take the whippings, take the killing, whatever, I don't want to be a slave. What is it that keeps him going? He's got a promise in his mind. God said something, and God, and here, look, wow. Here I am in Egypt. I wonder if this has anything to do with what God told my great-grandfather Abraham. So he decides to do what he can. And God blessed Joseph while he was there. And then that deal with Potiphar's wife, she accused him of trying to rape her. And she had him thrown in prison. And there he is in jail now. He's in prison, running away to prison. What is it that keeps his mind from going absolutely crazy? Because here he was, one day he's the best loved of his father. Now he's sitting in a sewage pit of a prison, rotting away down there. What is it that keeps him going? I'm in Egypt. Our great-grandfather, Abraham, God said this very thing was going to happen. And I'm in Egypt. And I believe God. Then he reveals the dream to the baker and the butler, and he says, now don't forget me. Now when you tell about what's going to happen here, when you get out, don't forget me down here. Well, what happened? They went off and forgot him. What is it that keeps him going? He believed what God told his great-grandfather Abraham. And now they call him. They said, hey, we heard that you can interpret dreams. And so he interprets the dream of the Pharaoh, and you know the story. And now all of a sudden they're 2 years into the famine. And lo and behold, here are the 11 brothers standing right in front of him. And Joseph, he just got a big smile on his face. I think I know how we're going to end up in Egypt. Why? He believed what God said. So he invites the whole family down. Jacob comes down 22 years after thinking his son's been murdered. Here is Jacob now beholding his son, Joseph, who is now the second most powerful human being on the planet, Joseph. And where are all the people? In Egypt. So look at this verse again. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. As Joseph was dying, you know what he said? About 400 years from now, when you guys leave, take my bones with you and bury them in the land that God promised my great-grandfather Abraham. Because my God told my family that we would end up down in Egypt, and here we are. And he said, we're going to be here down here about 400 years. Just hang on, people. And then God was going to put us back in our land. I want it rehearsed in the ears of every generation of Israelite for the next 400 years. That on the day you pull out of here with your wagons, my bones had better be on one of them. That's faith. That faith went from father to son, father to son, father to son, father to son. 400 years now, they're rehearsing in the ears of every Israelite. We're leaving one of these days. And when we do, we have to take Joseph's bones with us. Son, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you how we ended up down here. And they tell the son the story. And the son listens to the story. And the son grows up to be a man. Now they're in slavery. Now they're in bondage. Now their taskmasters are cruel over them. But the fathers are still telling the son, son, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you what was told me. And over and over and over. So that when that wagon pulls out of Egypt that day, Moses at the head of the trail, they have on there the bones of Joseph. Hey, Matthew, I think you hit the speaker up there. We're a little bit loud here. Thank you. Anyway, that's faith. That is transmitted faith. Transmitted faith. Fathers transmitting it down to their sons. Mothers telling it to their daughters so that the generations don't forget. When you leave, make sure you got the bones of Joseph with you. Somebody say amen. Now watch this. By faith, Moses, when he was born. And this is not even really the faith of Moses, is it? When Moses was born, he didn't have any faith. And now he's 3 months old. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Who had the faith? His parents did. They had faith. Because they saw he was a proper child. And they were, listen to this now, you listen to me. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, I preach pretty heavy, pretty hot. I haven't done it in a while. I think we're about due. I preach pretty hard on biblical authority, and you don't break rules.
Amen.
If someone's in charge, as long as they're in charge and they're in charge over you, you do what they say. I don't care. I don't care if your president is a communist and an atheist and a Muslim and not even of this country. Well, maybe on that one, because I got biblical thing on that one. Okay. I don't care if the leader of your country is an atheist, an infidel, and everything else. If he's in authority over you, he is your authority. Some people don't like that. That's scripture. You say, oh, you show me that. Okay, I'll show it to you. Who was in charge now of the Israelites for 400 years? Who was in charge of them? Pharaoh was. Was Pharaoh worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? No, he had the Israelites building these two cities, Pithom and Ramses, and they were both dedicated to the solar deities, to the sun god. He was a pagan idol worshiper, and this particular Pharaoh that's over the Israelites hated the Israelites and hated their god. Now, God removed the Israelites out from under his dominion, did he not? How did he do it? Did he tell Moses, "Moses, go in, tell Pharaoh, we're leaving. You can't stop us." It's not what he did. God specifically instructed Moses to go in and recite these words to Pharaoh. "Pharaoh, let my people go." Because not even God was going to break the authority that Pharaoh had over those people. Because God put them there. Not even God was going to break that authority. How did the Israelites end up leaving the land of Egypt? How did that happen? Pharaoh said, "Go." Now they can go. He gave permission and God took them out. Let me give you another illustration. The Apostle Paul was under what governmental rule? What government ruled over the Apostle Paul? Rome. The Caesar. Paul was a, even though he was a Jew, he was a natural born citizen of Rome. He declared that in the book of Acts. He asserted his Roman rights. He said, "Wait a minute, I'm not just any Jew. I was born in Tarsus. I am a Roman citizen." And what was it? I think one of the guards said, "Hey, I paid a high price to get my citizenship. How did you get it?" "I was born that way. I was born a citizen of Rome. I have rights." Paul was under the rule. Now you listen to this. Paul was under the rule of a man who believed himself to be God. That was the Caesar. The Caesars of Rome believed themselves to be God on earth, just like most emperors in the world. Most emperors have a God complex out of this world. The Japanese emperor, he was the sun god. The Chinese emperors, they were all gods, every one of them. Okay? And so was the Caesar. Every Caesar of Rome saw himself and was told that he was God on the earth. And beyond that, a pagan worshiping, God hating king was the Caesar of Rome. And Paul was under his authority and even used the civil laws of Rome and the criminal laws of Rome to be able to make, to have his right to appeal all the way to Caesar in Rome. He had that right as a citizen if he wanted it. And he had that right and he used it. Paul didn't have a problem knowing that his emperor was a pagan. Paul didn't have a problem with that. Paul, in fact, you don't see anywhere in Paul's letters where Paul said, "Down with Rome! Down with the emperor! Down with Caesar!" You don't see him doing that. In fact, he says in several places in the scripture, pray for those that are in authority over you. Pray for magistrates, pray for governors, that you may live a quiet and peaceable life. That's what he said. So I'm pretty good on this authority thing. Our country, our government is in authority over us right now. And so long as our government does not force us to violate a commandment of God, they have nothing to expect from us than our obedience. That's scripture. Some of the people listening do not like that. I don't care what you like. Well, I kind of do. I like you. But when it comes to this Bible is very clear. God did not save us to be anarchists. God did not save us to be rebels. God did not save us to put down all the governments in the world. God did not save us for that cause. And right now, we live in the absolute freest country that exists on the planet. There isn't one more free than this one. We're not living. I see people all the time on Facebook. "We're under tyranny right now." No, we're not. Do you know what tyranny is? Tyranny is that government in Pakistan. There is, I don't know if you know about this or not. Over the weekend, Some guy out in Pakistan, there's a town out there where they've got a little community of Christians out there, and some guy was spreading around literature, something like that, against the prophet Muhammad. And the gang got mad at him, burnt 200 Christians' houses down to the ground in their churches. And the government arrested the guy who was saying, "Down with Allah." That's tyranny. That's tribulation. That's trial. That's persecution. We're not in it yet. Quit your griping and complaining about where you live. Now, is it going to get there? We're not there yet. But let me say this. On the day, and they're already doing this up in Canada, on the day that we are told, that I am told, that I cannot preach this Bible's regulations against sodomy, I disobey. I rebel. Look at this verse now. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You know what the king's commandment was? Kill your children. And they said, no, we won't do it. You might kill them. And if you kill my children, you'll have to do it going. You'll have to run the sword or the bullet through me first. But I don't care who you are. I'm not killing my child. You want to talk about tyrannical? There are Christians in China who end up going to death camps because they won't abort their second child. Government law. You can have the first one. You abort the second one. And there's Christians in China who say, no. You know what causes them to say that? Faith. Faith. You know what they believe? They believe there's a higher authority over them. And yeah, we'll pay taxes to China. In fact, that's a communist nation, so they pretty much own everything that is. We'll work on the farms. We'll eat their food. We'll do everything. But when you tell us to kill our children, you come get us because we're not doing it. We will hide from you. We will do whatever we can against you because we're not afraid of you. Our faith tells us that we have a higher authority. I want to tell you, stop and think about this. They're not afraid of the government of China because they are afraid of the Lord. They fear the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Don't do what China says, you might lose your life. Don't do what God says, you lose your soul. That's faith. That's faith. I'm just saying to you tonight, and I'll have some people mad at me. And I'm kind of getting used to it. I don't like it. I'd like for people, when they see the Word of God, to just believe what the Bible says. And I believe in earthly institutions of authority. In every realm, in every pocket of civilization, somebody's got to be in charge. Somebody has to be in charge. Okay? I believe the husband's the head of the family, and I believe mama's the head of the house.
Amen.
Listen, that's not unbiblical. Okay? The man is the head of the family. He is the spiritual head of that family. Okay? And I'm saying this kind of lightheartedly, but there's a little bit of biblical backing to it. The woman's domain is her home. Okay? I found out that there's one way to put a roll of toilet paper on the roll. One way. One way. Okay? Yeah. Who cares? But there's one way, isn't there? Okay? I'm not saying that she's boss. Okay? But she's to be the keeper at home. Let her do it, guys. Okay? But I believe in realms of authority. Biblical, there's pockets of authority. Somebody's in charge in every area of the world. There's somebody in charge. And we're under that. You get in your car, you're under authority. There's speed limit signs everywhere. There's stoplights, stop signs. Now there's cameras because people don't obey the law. You see what happens when we start bucking against civil laws? The government don't trust us. Now Barack Obama has put out a thing today where he's given all the spy agencies in America, the NSA, the CIA, and everybody else that's in charge, they have governmental authority to start going through all of your financial records. And they don't need a judge to say so. They have computers with algorithm rhythms that know what to look for, and they can in a second analyze all of your financial transactions, and a red flag goes up when something doesn't look quite right. They're looking for terrorists, Jim. I don't believe that. Okay? Let me just say this to that. There is a court deal in Missouri right now because a guy went to get his concealed carry license, and the law is clear. If he meets the qualifications, if he passes the test, this is a shall issue state, which means the state cannot decide we're not going to issue you the permit. We have to issue the permit if you meet the guidelines. So the guy filled out the application, went to the sheriff's office, got fingerprinted, he got background checked, he paid the fee, did everything in the world, got his papers from the sheriff's department. Went to the license office. The license office had received a memo saying, anybody that comes in with a gun permit, you need to scan all of their documents so we can send it to the Department of Homeland Security. And the license office asked this man, we need to see all your documents so we can scan it. And he said, what are you going to do with it? We have to send it to the Department of Homeland Security. He said, you're not doing it. Well, we're not issuing you your permit. He said, yes, you are. This is a shall issue state. And you have to give me my permit. And they said, no, we're not, because we want to scan your documents. He said, you're not doing it. It's in court right now. Okay? You know what the man did? You know what the man was doing? He was appealing to a higher authority, the written laws of the state of Missouri. This license office has no right to withhold this man's concealed carry license on that basis. The law is clear. It's a shall issue state. I believe in that. This is our right. We have law for it. Let's exercise our rights. And don't stand for anybody wanting to take them away. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay? But one of these days, they're going to try to make us break God's law. I'd rather die first. And I'm a sinner. But no man's going to make me break God's law. Amen? Stand. It's faith. If you don't have faith, you won't do that. Let's stand to our feet. God bless you tonight. I love you. And pray for one another. All right? Pray for your country. Amen. Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you, dear God, for Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for this Bible. Thank you, Lord, for what it says and everything that it is. God, I don't know everything. I try to study. I try to read and try to learn. And Lord, your Bible is so deep and it's so rich and it's so full. I don't quite understand everything. But Lord, I believe it. I believe it's the final authority on everything. And I believe that in every area of life, Lord, that this book addresses, it addresses everything. And I thank you, dear God, for the guidance that we get from your word. I thank you, dear God, Lord, that we are not under the dominion of Rome. Thank you, God, Lord, that we have freedom to worship you according to how this Bible says. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to, that these people, God, I'm so thankful, Lord, these people don't have to come to me to get their sins forgiven. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray, God, Lord, that you'd bless these people, help them, dear God, to realize the freedoms that they have, and they could all be taken away. Lord, we love you. We thank you, dear God. Bless us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,